Blog Talk Radio.
Declare to you, my past is over in you. Hallelujah. Thanking God today for allowing us to move forward in his holy and divine word. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the word of God. And I am excited. Y'all know I get all giddy now. I'm excited. We have a new book we're starting this morning, and the word that God gave me is God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is not the author of confusion, and we as men and women of God have got to think that through. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is an orderly God. God is a great God. God is an omnipotent God. And he wants us to love each other. If you get nothing else out of this moving forward experience, understand that God wants us to love each other. Because when we love God, we can love each other and his people. So let's get started in our word this morning. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, we rejoice and are glad in it. Lord God, I say to you every day, I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to have a new day. And as Mother Rita said on yesterday, above ground. Father God, I ask you to guide and lead this word. Let it touch hearts, minds, and spirits, Lord God, that we hear the word. And not only be hearers, but doers of the word. That we understand that this word is going to guide and lead us into the right direction. So, Father God, as you increase in our decrease, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And it's in the name of the master Savior. My friend, Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanking God for my brother, my Savior, my friend, Christ Jesus. Thanking God. And that's the key, thanking God. We got to thank God every day that he gave us a new day. That he loves us more than we could ever imagine and more than we actually deserve. He loves us like that. Praise the Lord, everybody, and give God glory this morning. The Lord, and give God glory, because it's definitely not about me, but all about him. And so let's get to our little book today. And it's all 66 books explained and applied. Know your Bible. And we are going into the book of Isaiah. And I am so excited. This is a great, great book of prophecy, of understanding, telling of our Savior. This Bible book. It's one of the best because it guides us into what's coming. But it tells us about Jesus. It gives us an understanding of our Savior. He was bruised for our iniquities. So let's get into what the Bible says. And the author of Isaiah is Isaiah, son of Amoz. And it starts, it is written around 740 to 700 BC, starting in the year that King Uzziah died. In 10 words or less, a description of Isaiah, a coming Messiah, would save people from their sins. Can y'all give me that again? Isaiah, in 10 words or less, a coming Messiah will save people from their sins. Details, please. Like most prophets, Isaiah announced the bad news of punishment for sin, but he also describes a coming Messiah who would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and with his stripes we are healed, Isaiah 53 and 5. And we know in Isaiah 53, it is all that. You know, if you're having a day, read Isaiah 53, and it will give you an enlightenment. It will make you appreciate the life, and it will make you appreciate the goodness of God, that he gave us a Savior to keep us from falling. Called to the ministry through a stunning vision of God in heaven in chapter 6. Isaiah wrote a book that some call the fifth gospel, where a prediction of the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ some 700 years later. These prophecies of redemption balance the depressing promises of God's discipline against Judah and Jerusalem, which were overrun by Babylonian armies about a century later. Isaiah's prophecy ends with a long section, chapters 40 through 66, describing God's restoration of Israel, his promised salvation, and his eternal kingdom. What a mighty God we serve. Quotable, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 6 and 3. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7 and 14. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 and 6. That's a highlightable. And it's also in Handel's Messiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 and 6. Unique and unusual about Isaiah. Isaiah had two children with Shedek names. Sher Jashab means a remnant shall return, and Mahar Shalah has died. And if you ask me if I'm saying those names directly, the answer is, I don't think so, but I'm trying. Hallelujah. Means haste to the small. Sher Jashab's name carried God's promise. The exiled Jews would one day return home. Mahar Shalah has died. Name assured the king of Judah that his country's enemies would be handled by Assyrian armies. And this is our, so what? So what? Early in his ministry, Jesus said he fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah. The Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings until the meek he has sent me, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah 61:1-2. It's amazing how much God cares about us. Wow. amazing how much God cares about us. Can we just take a minute to tell God thank you, who breaks it down, who is not afraid to speak truth to power so we get it, so we understand it, so we appreciate our blessings and appreciate you. Thank God today for his grace. Thank God today for his mercy. Thank God today for his loving kindness. Thank God today. And let God guide you. Let God lead you. Let God send you where you need to go. For there is no God like our God. No God like our God. Glory be to the name of the Lord today. Glory be to the name of the Lord today. Can y'all say it with me? Glory be to the name of God today. For he is good and his mercy endures forever, because he gave us his son and he gave us a prophet to let us know he was coming. To let us know he was coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As the song says, Lord, you're worthy of the glory and the honor and the praise. And I just tell you now, it makes me want to shout. So let's get into the word. And it says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, of people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corrupted. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. And the whole heart thanks, but the soul of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They're putrefying. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have become made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice to me? Say to me. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? To trample my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbath and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself. Make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But you and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderous. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her sinners with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and the sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed, but they shall be ashamed of the territories which you have desired. And you shall be embarrassed because of the gods which you have chosen. But you shall be as a terebinth whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tinder, and the work of it as a spark. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench them. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nations, neither shall they learn war anymore. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Now put a pin right there and get my normal everyday disclaimer. I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, Signature Series, New King James Version. And I say every day, this Bible is so great to have in your biblical arsenal. It is a Bible that all of us as Christians should buy. I thank God for men like Dr. Stanley, because I tell you, he is awesome, and his word is true. Everything he says is stuff that I'm already thinking. I'm like, wow, we on the same page. It's not we on the same page. We both love God and trust in his word. God's word is true, and we must believe it and trust in it and know that when we trust in God, everything else falls into place. God's word is a word you can stand on, a word you can believe, a word you can trust, knowing that God's got us covered. And as we go back into Isaiah life lessons for chapter 1, it says this in verse 18, come now and let us reason together. What does it say? Neither shall they learn more anymore. You know, dialogue builds relationships. You don't have to have war when you have dialogue. Genuine prayer has all of the qualities and characteristics of a deeply meaningful conversation between two people. Far out of each other when they listen to the voice of God. We don't have to fight when we can dialogue and we can talk. Because when you talk it out, you might find that you have a lot of commonality, that what you're saying might be something to think about, and that maybe I have an opinion and you have an opinion, and if we come together and ask God to give us the right conclusion, we can be better friends. We all know back in our day, and I'm just saying it, kids used to get in fights, but they weren't killing each other. And some of the folks you got in fights with wind up being your best friend. And somebody that had your back. Because they just had to make sure you were worthy to be their friend. So y'all got into a fight and became friends. But nobody died. And that is the difference when neither shall learn war anymore. And it goes on to tell us in chapter 1, verse 18, the image of God and man sitting down together for a good talk is our best image of prayer. We got to sit down and have a little talk with you. Tell him all about our trouble. Because we got to understand God is waiting. He is asking. He is wanting us to speak to him. As he speaks to us, all we have to do, we talk so much we forget to listen. We got to listen to the voice of God. And if we go back into our chapter 2, verse 3, it says, his ways and we shall walk in his path. And it says, God designed a life of faith to be a community affair. He teaches us his ways so that we can walk in his path. If you're trying to go it alone in your faith, you'll never grow as God wants you to. That's why church is important. And I have to say, shout out to Sister Ruby, who gave the Sunday school lesson yesterday. Great word. Coming out of Genesis, we're talking about Abraham and how he had to follow God. You know, you're an old man, 75 years old, and somebody's telling you that you're going to be a father of many nations. You're probably looking at him like, you must be crazy. I'm old, my wife's old, she's in her 60s, I'm 75. How the heck are we going to have any kids? And God don't even give them to you for another 25 years. And you're like, okay, I'm waiting. He gives you a child from your wife's place. She's forced to give you a child. See, your wife gets mad. Well, she's the one that suggested because she didn't want to wait on God. We got to wait on the Lord. And this is what the word says. As we talk about it, it says, O house of Jacob, chapter 2, verse 5 of Isaiah, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. Come on now. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end of their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. Come on now. Full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands. Come on. That which their own fingers have made. People bow down. And each man humbles himself, therefore do not forgive them. You bowing down to something made by hands. We don't bow to wood that's set in churches. We bow to God, and that's on our knees in prayer. We're not bowing to the object. We bow to Jesus in the spirit. We don't bow and kiss rings of men. It's idolatry. We got to be careful what we are doing. What did it say? Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. People bow down, and each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forgive them. Talk about some golden calves, y'all. It says, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of men shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. We got to exalt the Lord, not people. So many times we as people have put people on pedestals. We have made people our God. And you better understand, as we talk the talk, but we walk in our idolatrous walk, God will hold us accountable. Don't put people on pedestals. And then when people do awful, evil things, we don't want to think that our idol did anything wrong. It must be the other God. Got to be careful, because God is watching everything, and he is taking notes. This is, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything around, everything, anything. Let me go back, because I don't want to put any words in the Lord's mouth. Says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty. Bam. Wow. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty. Upon everything lifted shall be brought low. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall. Wow. All up in our business, is he not? Upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful slopes, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In that day a man shall they make each for himself to worship, to the mold and bath, to go into the cliff of the rock and into the cleft of the rugged rock from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises and shakes the earth mightily. Sever yourselves from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils. What account is he? Wow. And I love what Dr. Stanley has to say in this life lesson in Isaiah 2 and 17. It says, the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The Lord wants to bless us for our obedience, not discipline us for our disobedience. He urges us to turn from our sin and follow him so that he can do good to us. However, the day is coming when human pride and arrogance will be smashed forever, and the entire world will acknowledge that God alone rules. As followers of Christ, we can anticipate that day by willingly humbling ourselves. My brothers and sisters, are we humbling ourselves today? Are we giving God glory? Or are we giving man glory? There is none like our God. Nothing, Nothing is better than God. Lift up that hand. Lift up your hand and tell God, thank you today. Let the Lord lead you today. Be merciful and grateful and know that you are special. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. And I love our psalm for this morning. We're coming out of the 105th Psalm, chapter, verses 1 through 6. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his children. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, saints, this morning. Let God know you appreciate his grace through his son that he has given us. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. And I love this life lesson that Dr. Sally gives. He says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his God is infinite. We will never run out of new and surprising territory to explore regarding his character and nature. The great adventure of seeking God in his ways will continue our whole lives. I am so grateful every day that God gave me another day because he didn't have to. I'm grateful every day I have an opportunity to come before you with a word from God. I am thankful that God is a loving and kind God and that he cares about us more than we could ever imagine. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of God and to know that we are special to him. Proverb for this morning is Proverbs 24, verses 23-25. Again, our proverb for this morning. So if you would like to turn to it within your Bible, because this is Bible study. It's chapter 24, verses 23-25. And it says that these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in justice. Wow. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, nations will abhor him. But those who rebuke the wicked will have the light, and a good blessing will come upon them. I'm going to read that again. That's a today word all over this world. All over this world. This is a today word. Because so many times we put folks that are doing wrong on pedestals, and they can do no wrong in our sight. They can say whatever they want to say. They can do whatever they want to do. But they are ours and we are going stand strong with them in they evil, in they wicked, in they just downright nasty. Stick with them. You know, stick with them. Like an adhesive. You know, we are Velcro with them because we don't want to be made to look stupid. So we don't want to be made to look bad. So that's my favorite artist. They are my idol. You hear terms like that. They are my idol. Thou shalt have no other God before me. when we put people on that we don't want to admit that they've fallen, we are in a situation of idolatry because we worship them in the good, bad, ugly. God loves us in ours. God will chastise us. God wants us to be obedient, but we should never worship people, places, or things. And it says that these things also belong to the wise. We want to be wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, that's just like the term. Ooh, that is so bad. And when did bad become good? Please let me know that. Why can't we say, that is really beautiful, that is really good? Ooh, girl, you look so bad. Meaning you look good. If I tell you you look bad, that means you really look bad. Not bad in a good way. Because that is wickedness. We have allowed our vernacular to change where what is good becomes bad and what is bad becomes good. Makes no common sense. Godly sin. And what did he say in this word, in this proverb? Solomon is speaking to us today. And I'm going to read it one more time. Proverbs 24:23-25. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, him the people will curse. Nations will abhor him, but those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. We got to learn to speak truth to power. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. But let's make our bad bad and our good good. And ugly ugly. Call ugly pretty, and I can't call pretty ugly. I can't call bad good and good bad. Bad is bad, good is good. And we need to change back to the proper terms. Don't tell somebody they're looking bad because you're falling into the trap of the enemy. Because then you make evil good and good evil. We have to be very careful as men and women of God not to fall into the trap of the evil one. Because he wants us to worship him and not God. Careful as Christians. We have to be careful as believers of Jesus Christ. As followers of God and the Savior. And not fall into idolatry and worshiping the object cross. And not the Savior that died on me. And as we go into our Corinthians verse, we are still in 1 Corinthians, and we are in chapter 14, verses 21 through 40. It says, in the law it is written, with men of tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me. And I'm going to read that one more time. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. God is speaking to us today. God is trying to get our attention today. God is wanting us to walk in a righteous manner today. And it says that therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Did y'all catch that? Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Come on now. He's telling the truth. But if all prophesy and are and an unbeliever or an uninformed person come to him, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Saying in tongues, this sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook. Because if there is not an interpreter, it is a private conversation between you and God. And God will give you interpretation of what you're speaking to him. It's a private conversation. And it goes on to say, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. There you go. Let all things be done for edification. Edification of who? God. Anyone speaking in tongues, let there be two or at most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. Y'all caught that. Let one interpret. There shouldn't be tongues spoken without interpretation. Whether you're interpreting or someone is interpreting what you're saying. Because otherwise it sounds like gobbledygook. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to who? God. Come on now. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. It's private. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who says by, let the first keep silent. Come on now. Because I'm going to tell you, how many times have you been given knowledge of something? And then a prophet comes in and speaks everything that God has already shown you. And all you can do is cry. Because you know that everything that prophet is speaking comes from God. Because you already have seen it. You have heard it. And you know it. Because he's giving you knowledge. And he's even let you know that a prophet's going to come and confirm it. God gives us confirmation all the time. But sometimes we don't listen. And it tells us this, God, one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. You know, and like I said, again, I get all funny acting about this next section, but I'll get there in just a moment. But I love it. This, I'm going to go back one more time. And, I just don't feel God is a contradiction. He doesn't tell Sister Susie to go and stand at the door, and then he tells Sister Joni to go and Susie to move. But when Sister Susie has been told by the pastor to stand at the door, but somebody else told Sister Joni to go over there and tell Sister Susie she needs to move. But Sister Susie is doing what she was told by the pastor. But somebody else is telling Sister Joni, well, she needs some help over there. You need to go over there. Well, maybe the pastor sent Sister Susie there because Sister Susie is the head usher. And Sister Susie knows how to greet. But Sister Joni is hyper and will run people away. And that's why she didn't put Sister Joni at the door. But Sister Joni's going to the door anyway. As you know, she is a contradiction. She is an author of confusion. Because the enemy does that. He tries to create as much havoc as he can. But we got to stand firm and say, not today, Satan. You know, my pastor everything she has said has been the truth. The enemy comes before or after a move of God. He will come and try to cause confusion for a move of God. He will come and try to cause confusion before or after a move of God. So just be prepared. If you got something that's getting ready to happen for the Lord, I'm going to tell you, the devil's coming at you. And I can say that, you know, he's coming at you. But you got to stand firm and say, not today. You're not knocking me off my square. I'm going to Sunday school. And I'm going to be on time. And I'm, you know, because that is my own dilemma. I love Sunday school. But I haven't been going to Sunday school because I just couldn't get myself together. Be up early. Y'all know I'm here with you at 7 a.m. Sunday school don't start till 10, 3 hours later. There's no reason not to be there. No reason not to be ready to go there when my clothes is already laid out. Everything is already done. Instead, I get up here and go have a cup of coffee because I fast on Sunday. Except for I have a something to drink. I have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. And instead of getting dressed and being ready to walk out, you know, let me see what's on the news. Let me read what's going on here. Let me, I need to study this. I need to look at that. I need to check my checking account. I need to check my bills. I need to do this. I need to do let me do the pickup. Let me get this load of laundry in. Let me do everything is a distraction from doing what you need to do from God for God. Because understand, when you allow yourself to get distracted, that is from the author of confusion. And I understand it when you look around and you say, how did that get there? Confusion. Discombobulation. Because that's what the enemy does. He throws you off your square. But God will get us back on track. All we have to do is be quiet and listen. God does not tell you to go do this, go do that, go do, go, 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 when you have an assignment. You got to do what God says do and not what everybody else. Folks will have you going here and there and every pulling you left, pulling you right, pulling you forward. We got to stop, be still, and listen. Because God is not the author of confusion. And as we go forth, and, you know, I read this word several times because I used to get call my little self getting ticked off at Paul talking about women got to be quiet in church. And then I really read it. And God gave me an understanding. And this is what it says, let your women keep silent in the churches, but they are not permitted to speak. But they are to be submissive as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. But shameful for women to speak in church. And I've been in churches where this is like their foundational word. Women are to shut up, be quiet. They can't be ministers. They can't be pastors. They can't do anything but be quiet. Unless they're in a separate room, a separate location, only talking to other women. And that used to bother my spirit. Then I realized, know what it says, and if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. What if they don't have a husband? What if they are unmarried? And they don't have a dad. All they have is a mother. All they have or someone that is a woman to ask the question, figure in their life. How many dads are not there? What is those ask? And that ask goes to God. We are supposed to go to God. And in this season, God is calling women. until men step up to the plate. And we cannot go in this, well, this, not, you know, but understand, what did the word say? That in the times to come, and we know we are in the last days, because more and more women are stepping up to the plate to prophesy, to preach, to be in charge of churches, whether men like it or not, it's happening. Because why? The word tells us it's going to happen. And we got to listen to God. And if God calls a woman to preach and teach and to speak in the church, and it says this, or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. And so I had this like, okay, Paul, that's what God told you. But what if God told someone else something different? But then I'll go back to, God is not the author of confusion. But even in his day, there were women that were speaking in the churches. But some things, I believe, are personal opinions. And we got to be careful that our personal opinion does not go into our ministry. You know, because my personal opinion may be different than your personal opinion, which causes what? Confusion. And this is what Paul said, that if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brothers, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. You know, and we hear people talking about, well, things can be done decently in order. You got to read the whole word. It's talking about prophecy. It's talking about speaking in tongues. And Paul is saying that we should all stay in our assignment. And in that day, women did not speak in church. And in many countries in the Middle East and in certain churches, women do not speak because most have a husband. The case everywhere. And this is what the word of God says. This is what Dr. Stanley was given. It says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And that's 1 Corinthians 4:33. Remember that. That is a important word, as well as 1 Corinthians 14:40. We hear people say it all the time, but understand things need to be done decently and in order and in context. God does not tell one person to do something that completely contradicts and invalidates what he tells someone else to do. Nor does he ever lead in opposition to eternal word, to his eternal word. He is a God of order, but also of surprises. Come on now. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Chaos is never a sign of God's leading. When something falls out of control, you can be sure that God did not design it. He may lead in unusual ways, but he will never lead in inconsistent ways. You got to understand that sometimes you truly are under attack when things just seem to just go all over the place. And we got to. Sometimes it's lazy. Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes it is an attack. And we got to ask God to give us discernment to know the difference. You know, we got to trust God that all things will work together for good. But remember, if you get nothing out of today, get this. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So if stuff is all over the place and you're just feeling all out of sorts, take a minute and ask God to lead you. Don't get caught up in idolatry. Don't get caught up in the world. Get caught up in Jesus. Get caught up in the Lord. And then, again, let all things be done decently and in order. But God wants us to get it together. So all things are done the right way, God's way. And that is our word for this morning. If there's anyone that has a word, now is the time to push that little one on your phone in charge of everything. And we got to trust him and everything. God is not the author of confusion. And if somebody's bringing confusion into your life, just you got to cut it off. Trust God. Trust God in your churches. Trust God in your home. Trust God in your life. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And Sister Carolyn is still on vacation. So we will have a word from Sister Carolyn on tomorrow, hopefully. If not, we'll... Oh, Sister Carolyn just sent in a word this morning. And a word from my sister from yesterday is this. And it's all Romans, and we all talked about that yesterday morning. It just so happens it was a word that was given, but it's a word also from my sister in Christ. And I just actually spoke it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, King James Version. And our word for this morning as we wrap it up is, God made you as you are in order to use you as he planned. Have a motivated Monday. And remember, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And I say it, and I haven't said it this morning, but happy Labor Day to all the workers of this world. May your labor not be in vain. May you know that you work for God, and it's time to go start. Trust God in everything you do, and watch him work in your life. Happy Labor Day, family. I got to work today, but I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed that I love what I do. So have a great day, family. Church announcement tomorrow. We will be, at least for the next week, an hour ahead. So I will be going forth starting Wednesday at 6 a.m. instead of 7 a.m. because I have to get my grandchildren to school. They'll be staying with me for about a week. Parents are on vacation. So I have to go an hour early so I can make sure my grandbabies get to school on time. So we will be at 6 o'clock starting on Wednesday. So 6 to 7 starting Wednesday until the next Tuesday. So thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is, what do we say? A wrap. Have a great day. It's time to do what? Go to work. And to know that I love you and I thank God for you. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent and one from each other. In Jesus' name, have a blessed day. And again, happy Labor Day, family. And thank God again for unions and what they have done to make all of our lives better.